Our next guest is an American writer and script consultant for television and other media. I had to find out what other media is, including two of the top five best television series of all time. You will remember his episode, the one that he wrote, the opposite on Seinfeld, where George decides if he just does everything against his instincts, what he would normally do, that his life is turned around. Joining us on the air is Andy Cowan, and he has written the book, Banging My Head Against the Wall, Comedy Guide. Hey, Andy, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Patty. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Pleasure to talk to you as well. I want to introduce you to my friend Scott Stantis. He is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and joins us tonight.
Hey, Andy.
Oh, it's an honor. I love your world. Oh. I have a bunch of cartoons in a separate chapter in the book.
Oh, that's right.
Really? Well, by whom? By me?
Well, I wrote some 300 panels for Dan Ferraro's brilliant strip, Bizarro.
Sure.
And I was lucky to get one in The New Yorker, and then I creatively had fun poking fun at The New Yorker in a Bizarro cartoon in which I had the doctor asking the patient, you feel funny, as in strange and difficult to explain, or as in a New Yorker cartoon? And the patient says, what's the difference?
You were involved in the Seinfeld episode where they had The New Yorker cartoon was part of the storyline.
No, that was later on. I cite that story in the book around the time I talk about The New Yorker and whatnot. But yeah, that was a funny episode.
That's awesome. Now, I have to ask. I'm sorry. Did you draw the cartoon?
I drew my own comic strips early on, which I provide examples of in the book. But no, I wound up pitching the gag and setting the stage and whatnot, and then handing it off to the artist to do their magic.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for being a fan. That's cool.
I'm looking at
them. Oh, I love it.
I'm looking at your work right now, and that's it's a world. I know, so I'm a stand-up comic. I've been a comic for over 15 years, and when you start out, you know, you read some of these books and these guides, and one of the things they do is they tell you to go outside what you think you're supposed to be doing, right? You have this idea that you want to be a monologist. Well, try all the other things, whether it's script writing or writing a cartoon or what caption. I mean, Scott often does you do it every week. You do a caption contest.
I do. Well, I have nothing to let the other people do the work, you know? I mean, hell, I just have to draw a fish on a bicycle. I mean, that's as easy.
There you go.
No, but I do write scripts. I do write columns and stuff, and that's great advice.
Yeah, I think so. Andy, were you always somebody who knew that they had to be doing a little bit of everything if you're going to be in comedy?
Yeah, I was always kind of schizophrenic that way, but I started out in stand-up, and I was doing it back east. In fact, I was so hungry back then, I tell a story in the book. I had the guts to take a train from Philadelphia to New York to arrange a phony meeting with Lorne Michaels under an alias as an alleged hotshot Hollywood producer, and they took the meeting. And I wound up meeting him and forgetting to respond when they addressed me by my alias. I almost blew it right then and there. And this was during the Not Ready for Primetime era, so I tell that story in the book. But I was so hungry creatively to do anything for the show at the time, and I had other experiences later on with the people associated with the show that I tell about in the book. But one thing in the book, I talk about the strategies in performing. I performed live five times on the Merv Griffin Show. That was my first showbiz job, and I talk about all the celebrities I pre-interviewed and the nerves and the strategy that goes into performing comedy. And there's so much comedy in this book. The original creative projects, I always believed if I could circumvent the endless decisions by committee that prevent most TV projects from reaching audiences in today's marketplace, I would have had my own shows on the air that audiences would have embraced, you know, based on my sensibility and the iconic shows I've learned from. And along with Seinfeld, and there are new episodes of Seinfeld, quote unquote, that I pitched that never landed on the show. So people can almost look at that as a reboot and have fun with that. But this book is my chance to finally present painstakingly crafted original projects, sitcoms, cartoons, all kinds of stuff that got plenty of heat, and the shows may not have been ultimately picked up, but the reader finally gets to be the judge.
Isn't that incredible? The heap of talent that people will, like, I love that you did this because, you know, we had on the show not too long ago the creator of Mike and Molly, and he was talking about how he did a couple of stage readings of The Lost Pilots because he sells a lot of pilots that absolutely never, ever go to screen. And so it's a great idea because creatively you've got the people, the world should know. Andy, the world should know. And it also inspires other people who are in the industry and they keep getting rejected to go, okay, because they think, well, someone else is getting something I'm not. No, you know what? There's a lot of people like you who are.
Exactly. You really tapped into something there, Patty, because people can really, I think they're going to understand the business in a new way after reading this book and have a fun ride along the way. But to see the responses and the endless, you know, carrots being dangled from front of you and all the comedy that's shaped and how you pitch and sometimes you do the opposite and don't play the game and so much stuff to be gleaned from this book along those lines.
Because I you know, on my own, I've only sold one thing, but, you know, I felt like I came, so I sold my life rights and sitcom to ABC Studios.
And wow.
As a multicam, and it was, I felt like I was, you know, you get into that mix and you're like, you don't think you're ever going to be at that level. And then to watch all the things that, you know, that they pass us up for, or they didn't even go with anything in the category of comedies because they ended up sort of scraping off. And let's explain to folks what the difference is between a single camera comedy and a multicam. Cause I think that they don't quite that's a whole different beast that has emerged with a vengeance, not a beast, but a different model of presenting comedies on television.
That's right. The single camera became the industry darling once again. It's funny. It goes back to the 60s when there were single cams. That was when they had the phony laugh tracks in the background. But so the single cams, you know, the 30 Rocks, those kinds of shows, the quirky shows. But lately, the multicams, you know, Roseanne being one, that's a whole other story. All kinds of other multicams are coming back because networks seem to think that they draw bigger water cooler type ratings. So it's interesting to see, you know, the pendulum swing back and forth on that.
Yeah, because at the time we were they were trying to figure out a comedy for a Friday night. So it was with the Dr. Kens, and then the season that we were trying for, they kind of got rid of all of them on the Friday night schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But the ebb and flow of that. When did you start to realize, okay, I just have to find out, I have to keep, or did you always know to keep, you know, being relevant and just keep going at it? Whereas someone like me is like, all right, I'm just going to go back to Chicago and.
I think I'm a glutton for punishment. I think that's my problem. But I never ignore the sirens in the background. They're not coming to pick me up or anything. It's just a lot of traffic here.
We live in Chicago, also familiar to us.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm talking to Chicago here. But what I'm proud of with the creative projects, you know, I didn't really pay attention to what I imagined they were looking for. You have to be true to yourself. And these half-hour comedies, I always aim for interesting life themes in my projects, like nurture versus nature in a project called Outer Child that the readers can read about, or how humanity can stand to evolve in The Evolution of Stan. That's about the next level of mankind, the sequel to Us, the rare case where the sequel's better than the original, or reinventing marriage and trading up. So these kinds of projects people can get in on the ground floor of in the book and see how it was shepherded and the reactions and whatnot. But you know, there's tons of Seinfeld stuff. There are tons of stars in it. And as far as the frustration of the business, I always said they should just keep the H in the Hollywood sign, knock down Hollywood, and replace it with hurry up and wait.
Yes. Yeah, and the other thing is, and I'm sure you've run into this, people don't like to say no. So you have a long conversation, you have a long meeting, you pitch something, it feels like it went great, you send an email follow-up, and then, you know, I mean, the silence is their answer.
Oh, you said it. Yeah, that's the new no, silence. It's you know, life is short. I think we'd all rather just get the no and know that it's time to move on rather than keep kidding yourself that there might be that dream that's still dangling.
Exactly. I mean, I ghosting at a professional level is basically what's happening. It started. I noticed it a few years ago. They just would ghost you.
Yeah. No, I gave myself a couple of years to pitch a show in Hollywood, an animated show. Came really close. Took meetings. Did lunches. You know, which made me giggle every time they said that. Well, we need to do lunch. I go, really? Are we making it? Because no, but I sat down with one person. She was head of development for ABC Saturday Morning, short on the Natchka Khan. The delightful person, incredibly talented. But in the 10 minutes into the lunch, I said, I gotta stop you. How old are you? I know this is rude. She was 22 years old. And I'm going, wow, well, isn't that nice to be you? You know, I mean, but it was just all those experiences. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The amount of times I've run into people who have no idea who certain people were a nanosecond before they were born that I may bring up, I can't even begin to tell you.
And the thing is that the woman that you met with, she was young enough to tell you her real age. That's the or maybe she didn't. I don't know anymore.
Oh, no,
but
she looked. That seemed accurate.
Oh, I know. Well, I know firsthand. You know you're old when your dating profile fake age is old.
We are talking to Andy Cowan, who is the author of Banging My Head Against the Wall. You can find it everywhere where books are found. Where do you like directing people to purchase your book?
It's available on Amazon. That's an easy place to go. The publisher is Black Rose Writing. You can find it there. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's all over the place. And I'm really excited. It's the first day. It dropped today. And I literally spent 4 years writing about 40 years of writing and performing. I've been wandering the desert of Southern California and show business for 40 years. I'm like Moses. This is my Ten Commandments.
This is fantastic.
Let my people go. In showbiz, people are let go all the time, so I can be an authority there.
Would you mind hanging out for another segment with us while we go to a break?
I would love to.
We'll be back with Andy Cowan when we come back. He is, again, the author of Banging My Head Against the Wall. It's a comedy guide and has a collection of his, by the way, from Jason Alexander, Andy Cowan lives the life we generally leave unexamined. He examines and re-examines, then he postulates, examines again, and finally writes about it. The result is insanely wise, madly funny, and completely endearing. Read this book, laugh, enjoy, and discuss. We need so much more of that. More with our guests on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off tonight. She'll be back tomorrow on 720 WGN. Banging My Head Against the Wall, A Comedy Writer's Guide to Seeing Stars. The author of that book that just dropped today on the line with us is Andy Cowan. He is. Are you out in Los Angeles right now, my friend?
I am. I'm in Santa Monica.
Ooh, very nice. I go for Brazilian waxes there. You didn't need to know that. Anyway, so it's Santa Monica.
Apparently, so is Andy.
I never leave my apartment. I could be in Pittsburgh for all I know, so it really doesn't matter.
You can at least smell the ocean.
That's true.
We were talking a little bit about multicams and single-camera comedies. And for folks who aren't familiar, your multicams are like your Big Bang Theory and Roseanne, which was just canceled. And you said you had a thought about that because Seinfeld just came out this week and says that he thinks that firing her was overkill.
I just saw that online yesterday. Well, first of all, you know, audiences like to go home again, as far as the reboots, to basically pretend they're still the same age they were when they watched the show the first time. But the actors have aged, so it's tough hanging on to that fantasy. I don't know whether the Conners will succeed. I've read an awful lot of negative comments online. There's a surprise, negative comments online. Viewers swear they won't watch without Roseanne, but a lot of that could be the Trump base. But my question is, if they kill off Roseanne's character in 20 years, will that death turn out to be a joke like Goodman's was if they bring her back in a reboot?
It could. I mean, there's nothing that says they can't, you know, and it's hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm sorry. My mind just got blown.
It's a very strange circle. And the thing is that when you sign these contracts with studios to do your sitcom, they do own the rights to it. I mean, she may have, it was based on her, but she didn't create all the characters. So it is something that they have the rights to do. We'll see. We'll see if she must have
gotten a nice payout.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that Seinfeld would have survived how do you think Seinfeld would have done in this sort of era of social media if his sitcom were on the air right now?
Oh, that's interesting. Boy, everybody would have had an opinion, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As I point out in the book, digressing a little bit, there's actually a video of Neil Armstrong landing on the moon on YouTube, and there are all these thumbs down. Landing on the moon wasn't enough for these people.
I never get the thumbs down. You know what? I feel better now about my videos on YouTube. I have like seven. I think I'm okay with that. If Neil can't get all the thumbs up, what chance?
Oh, you're
I
a
have?
Success, and you didn't even have to travel to the moon.
Exactly, we're doing fine. So you and I have just talked about how hard it is to go into these pitch meetings, and the idea of producers just not even returning your calls after they seem very enthusiastic about it. You must have some, you know, uplifting stories for writers and sort of the what's the, you know, to keep them going in this business.
Well, that's what I try to convey by example, that, you know, everything's a snapshot in time. You shouldn't label yourself a failure if you hit a pothole. And, you know, all the cliches apply. There are lots of examples of turning lemons into lemonade in the book. I got passed on a short that I presented to the Pat Sajak Show when I was a writer there, and I wound up cold calling it and wound up winning Best Short Form Programming Special on Showtime, won a Cable Ace Award. It was a send-up of 60 minutes, 6 minutes. I played all the parts. Don Hewitt loved it. Readers can read about that and even see the links in the book about it. And of course, along with all the celebrities, Orson Welles, Andy Kaufman, all these folks I interviewed on the Merv Griffin Show, my first Hollywood job, in which I show examples of the opposite as well. You know, the whole trip through the business is about the ups and downs and the opposite. And the end journey to the book points to a creative project of mine that I'm really excited about. It's a new half-hour comedy reality docu-series that I co-created with Emmy winner Rich Ross, and it centers around my character. It's called The Lost Sessions with Andy Cowan, and it's a funny, honest musical. I also sing in jazz clubs. And very visual look into the world of therapy and a 20th century guy finding it both in session and out in the 21st century world. And comedy director David Steinberg was an early champion. So there are lots of folks that are circling it, and I'm excited about, you know, taking it out there. And I also have I'm attached with a Slam Dance winning producer, Ted Collins, who directed an award-winning short of mine. And speaking of cartoons, he is the producer of Mr. Fish, a documentary about the cartoonist Mr. Fish.
Well, I'll be darned.
He was asking about this, yes.
Yeah, and he is now attached as the producer and director of this feature script that I wrote that received interest from Bradley Cooper's management, but then it didn't ultimately happen, of course. But he's setting this up for 2019. It's called Die Job, D-I-E Job, dark comedy, and we're very excited about it. So proving yet again, as I mentioned in the book, if and when you're knocked down scaling your wall, do the opposite, get back up.
Do the opposite, just like George in The Opposite.
That's right.
And I'm trying to remember, because I'm a fan of all the shows that you've written for, and including you wrote for Cheers and Third Rock?
Cheers, Seinfeld, Third Rock, that's right. So, yeah, I wrote with a partner, Dave Williger, during the Shelley Long era.
Oh, man. By the way, Shelley Long, a lot of folks talk about her time here at Second City in Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah, she was a Chicago gal for a bit. So many great things. You have got to pick up Banging My Head Against the Wall. Scott, looks like you wanted to say something.
I'm enthralled. I'm going to order it.
Well, it's Banging My Head Against the Wall, A Comedy Writer's Guide to Seeing Stars. There's a foreword by Jay Leno, and you'll see a lot of great, funny things from the mind of Andy Cowan. I love this.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on.
Do you ever travel to Chicago by any chance?
I'm so frustrated that I have not set foot in Chicago proper. I've been to the airport all these times, and I'm always clamoring to explore, and I've never gotten around to it.
Chances are I'll come to you before you come to me is what you're saying.
I've got to do this before I shuffle off this mortal coil. I mean, Chicago is such a cool town, and I want to see that and experience that firsthand.
Are you doing a tour with your book? Because I think that you could tell your agents, hey, I got to go to Chicago and do WGN Radio.
People buy books here.
I wish I was creative enough to create an agent who would do that for me.
Tax write-off. I smell tax write-off.
Oh, that's right. I'll have to make note of that.
Yes, please. Oh, no. Would you say comics, writers, and all of our ilk are not great when it comes to the ledger and the business side of what we're doing?
Oh, I think that's so true, and I think agents and the business people may smell that, so we have to toughen up.
Yes, I agree. Well, toughen up, everybody, but laugh while you're doing it. Pick up Banging My Head Against the Wall, A Comedy Writer's Guide to Seeing Stars. It has been a pleasure, my friend.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much.
I look forward to talking to you again. I'm gonna email you. I'm gonna bounce some ideas off his head.
Please do. Please do.
Thank you.
And if you have any extra gags, don't be shy. Send them Scott Stanis's way.
Send me that information too, because I love pitching. That was such a fun world to pitch. Speaking of the opposite, I use that in many examples in the cartoon, like the wife saying to her miffed husband, "Yes, I cheated on you with your twin, but I thought I was cheating on him with you." Lots of examples of the opposite in comedy. I'll leave you with a timely one. Should we spend the girlfriend telling her less than amused boyfriend, should we spend the 4th of July together or Independence Day apart?
I love it. On that, we say adieu and good night, and we will see you again and talk to you again. That's Andy Cowan. Pick up his book on Amazon, Banging My Head Against the Wall, A Comedy Writer's Guide to Seeing Stars.
Come to Chicago.
Yeah.
I will.
First slice is on me. More after this on 720 WGN.